Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight. We're in a series, you know, it's kind of been a little broken up by things, but we're in a series on our covenant with God. And, you know, we've just been talking about different things tonight, which I've been calling our covenant with God 1, 2, now this is 3. But we've had subtitles of things that we're talking about. Tonight I want to talk about how there's transforming power in the new covenant and how it transforms your life, praise God. Woo, glory to God. Let's go 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 6. Got it? It says, who hath also, talking about God, God's made us, to be able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, or not of the old covenant letter, but of the Spirit. Thank God this new covenant has the Spirit of God on it, His power on it. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Amen. But if the ministration, this is the old King James, if yours might say ministry, if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. So the Bible called, talking about the Old Testament, you know, the law, it calls it ministering of death. Now, why is that? Well, you know, simply this, because the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the law, let's just say it that way, couldn't help you. All it could do is tell you you had a problem. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so it didn't minister life. It just condemned you. It convicted, it, you know, passed sentence on you. But, you know, it calls it the ministry of death, but it said it's still, because it was God's word, it had glory on it. How so much glory that the children of Israel couldn't look at Moses for the glory that it was on him after he came off Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. That glory was so strong, he covered himself with the veil. Verse 8 says, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? So we have the ministration or the ministering of death, and then we have the ministry of the Spirit. Which one sounds better? I'll take the ministry of the Spirit, right? How shall it not be rather glorious? Now, that old covenant was glorious, but it says, how shall not this new covenant, the ministry of the Spirit, be more glorious? Amen. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. So there it calls the old covenant the ministration of condemnation, but the new covenant the ministration of righteousness. Amen. See, all the old covenant could do is condemn you, but the new covenant can make you righteous. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. For even that which was made glorious, talking about that old covenant, had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Now, that's kind of wordy in the King James, but what it's saying is that, you know, that old covenant, even though it had glory, it can't compare to this new covenant. Thank God we're new covenant believers. For if that which is done away, verse 11, was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness or boldness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So it's saying that even though they read the Old Testament, there's a veil on them because if you read the Old Testament, what you ought to see is the need of a Savior and Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I had a minister that, you know, I knew for a number of years. He said, you know, he said, I had this friend, and he was a Jew, Jewish, Orthodox Jew. And he said he'd keep trying to get me to go to synagogue with him. And he said, finally, I made a deal with him and said, okay, I'll go to the synagogue with you if you come to church with me. So this minister that I know, he said, the guy went for it. So he said, you know, I went to his, you know, into the synagogue, and he said, they were just reading the scripture, and they were reading out Isaiah, and they were reading Isaiah chapter 52, and they got to a portion of 52, and they skip part of Isaiah 52 and all of Isaiah 53 and start reading again in Isaiah 54. So he said, I was curious, and I asked respectfully asked the rabbi afterwards. He said, I noticed you're reading out Isaiah 52, and then you stopped at a certain verse, and you went all the way to Isaiah 54. He said, now, was there a reason why you did that? Well, how many have ever read the last part of Isaiah 52? You ought to read it. Have you ever read Isaiah 53? What's it talking about? It's talking about Jesus paying the price. Here's what this rabbi told my minister acquaintance. He said, the reason I don't read that, he says, because when we read that, people mistakenly believe that's Jesus. Well, maybe there's a good reason for that, because it is Jesus, because he fulfilled it. Amen. So even though Jesus is in the Old Testament, if the veil's on, they can't see it. They can't see that. All they see is that law, you know. And so, but it says, verse 16, nevertheless, when it or one turns to the Lord, the veil will be taken away. In other words, if you turn to the Lord, God, he'll lift the veil. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, we used to use this verse for all kinds of things, and it's good. You know, when we'd run around the church, we'd say, well, the Spirit of the Lord's here, and we got liberty. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, how many remember those days? Well, it's not wrong, but that's not what he's talking about here necessarily. He's talking about the Lord's the Spirit that lifts the veil and gives you liberty to look into the glory, see. Now, notice verse 18, because here's what I wanted to get to. But we all with open face or unveiled face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed. Everybody say changed.
Changed.
Transformed, say that. Into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what is Paul saying here? Well, he's simply saying this. He's simply saying when you look into the new covenant, you're looking into the glory of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's the glory of the Lord. And what will happen to you is it'll change your life.
Right. Amen.
I'm a living witness. That when I began looking into the glory of the Lord, my life started changing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then, you know, going to church doesn't change you unless you look into the glory of the Lord, see.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, there's people who's gone to church for 45 years and haven't changed.
Right.
Because they haven't been looking into the new covenant.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why I want a church where they look into the new covenant.
Amen.
Amen. And that's why I go to this church, because the pastor preaches the new covenant. Hallelujah. And if he quits, I'm going somewhere else. Amen. I just might take him with me, maybe get him saved or something. How many understand? Paul's just talking about as we look into the new covenant, we are transformed. We are changed. Transformation starts taking place. And we go, now listen to this, we go from glory to glory and from faith to faith. In other words, we don't just get at a certain level and then we stop. Now, some people do, but you don't have to. You can keep going on. Hallelujah. There, yes, yeah, so, well, I'm just getting older now, and so, you know, I've grown all I'm ever going to grow. Well, that may be so, but you didn't have to be. Amen?
Amen.
You know, so we're just talking about how we're changed from glory to glory and from faith to faith. Now, as we look and see, the Spirit of God reveals this to us. He reveals the glory of the Lord in this new covenant. Amen.
Amen.
And so if you want to go from, I don't know about you, but I want as much blessing of God on my life as I can possibly get.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, all right. Since we're a little short on time here, because the guy who took up the offering was long-winded, let's go to James chapter 2. Go there. James chapter 2. I don't know about you. I want to go from glory to glory.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to glory. And we ought to be excited about our Christian life.
Yeah.
If we're not, that's because we're not growing, see. We're not going from that glory to glory. People say, well, if you get bored with serving God, you got a problem. So you need to grow. You need to keep going on. Amen. Go from glory to glory now. Now, notice in James chapter 1, verse 21, James says, he says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, and King James says, superfluity of naughtiness, which I know that doesn't mean much to our language today, but it just means overflow wickedness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So how many know it's the word that's able to save your souls or deliver your soul? You know, I don't know. I don't think this is necessarily just talking about salvation, because he's writing to save people. But, you know, it's like your soul is your mind, will, and your emotions. And the word's able to deliver your thinking to where you think like the glory.
Right.
Amen. So, in other words, but he said you have to receive it. So, adjust if as you look into this book, I mean, adjustments have to be made.
Yes.
Adjustments have to be made. See, when you drive home, you're going to be make. It's hard telling how many hundreds or thousands of adjustments you're going to make. Because you can't just pull out of the driveway and go home. You got to turn. You got to, you know, the road is not straight. One guy told me, he said, my grandma was just, she complains, why can't they make a road straight? Why they got the curves in them? So you'll get where you're going, you know what I'm saying? You know, so there's adjustments that have to be made, right? You know, and so... And sometimes we think, you know, well, you know, this isn't a big deal, but listen, just off just a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Like if you're flying from New York to Los Angeles and you get off 1 degree, it's not much for a little bit, but after a while, it just keeps growing and multiplying. And next thing you know, you didn't make L.A., you made Canada.
Yeah.
You're not careful, you might be getting shot down by the Russian military. You keep going, see? See, so we have to understand that even though this, it may seem like a small thing, you know, oh, well, I'll tell you, I heard Pastor talk about tithing, I'll tithe when I get ready. Well, listen, you have to decide, did Pastor write the verses on tithing or did the Holy Ghost give them to us? Amen. See, that's all the difference in the world. If it's just something that I thought up, well, that's not the word. But if it's the word, have you know, you need to make the adjustments.
Yeah.
You need to make the adjustments. Why? Because if you want to go from glory to glory, how many know you have to make adjustments? And he said, now, verse 22, he said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So we can't just be a hearer of the new covenant. We got to be a doer of the new covenant. For if any, listen to this, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a what?
Mirror.
A mirror. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. For he beholds himself, goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. In other words, if you just look into the new covenant and you don't do what you see, it doesn't do you any good. You have to make some adjustments. You have to make some changes. Amen. I want, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm going to say it again. I want the fullness of his glory in my life. I want as much change as I can get. Now, that's up to me. See, that's not up to God. That's up to me. How much changing am I willing to make when I look, when I behold the glory of the Lord in the new covenant? When I see what the Word of God says? Well, you know, am I doing it? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm still working on some things. Anybody else admit that?
Yeah,
I've still got some things to work on. And sometimes your flesh doesn't want to change. Really, it's your flesh doesn't want... Normally, there's people... Then there's some people that are worse about it than others. There's some... We used to have a guy come to his church. He's moved away now. He hears this. He'll know I'm talking about him, but I love him. But anyway, and his wife would tell us, he don't do change well. He doesn't do change well. I mean, if you'd rearrange the seats in the sanctuary, it'd throw him off. He don't do change well. Well, how many know... A lot of us don't do change well because our flesh doesn't want to change. When I was a kid, my mom had, she had fish in an aquarium, you know, and she had these little fish. They were called guppies. And they were about worthless, but anyway, she liked them. So, you know, I mean, you couldn't fry them or anything. And they were just little tiny fish. I mean, you know what a guppy, I mean, they're not very big, you know. And so she had guppies, you know, and every now and then you have to change the water. I mean, you have to clean it out. So whenever she would change the water and she'd chase her guppies around with her little net, you know, get them out of there and put them in a bowl. and then, you know, dump the water and clean the tank and then, you know, redo everything, put it all back in there, and then she'd put the guppies back in there. Some of those guppies would float upside down for a while, about half an hour. You'd think you kill them. But after about half an hour, they'd get right side up and just take off swimming. They didn't do change well. And I'm convinced we got a lot of guppies in the church. Change called them to turn upside down. But how many know we got to change? You know, if we're looking into the glory is going to change us. I mean, as many as God loves, He rebukes, right? Amen. Let me find something here. I was looking at this before the service. I don't know which notepad I have it on. I have some notes here. I keep in my Bible. They're good stuff that I refer to. There was somebody said this, said, before I was born again, I wasn't a low life, I was a no life. Pastor Jerry, hallelujah. That's one of his sayings. I have sayings on these notes. I write them down. You know, I keep them in my Bible there. I want to refer back to them. But I saw one I was looking through here. Oh, here it is. This was from Dr. Barclay. He says, plan to stay really small if you don't desire and covet correction. Plan to stay really small. In other words, plan to stay in a small place. But I don't know about you. I don't want to stay in a small place. I want to go from glory to glory. Amen. And from faith to faith. So, as we look into it, now, as we look into the new covenant, it's not enough just to get excited about it. We should get excited over it. Amen. We should be excited over it. It's good stuff. So, don't just stop there. You have to go on and do it. Amen. Now, notice verse 25, but whoso or whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, this new covenant, and continues in it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What's James talking about? He's talking about when we look into the mirror of the Word, we'll see changes that we need to make.
Yeah. Amen.
What do you look in the mirror of the morning? See if you're still alive? No. You see, if there's something that needs attention. Now, if you're like me, there isn't anything to fix. I mean, I'm like God. I never change. Well, my hair every now and then, you know. I was explaining this. Somebody, why do you keep your hair cut so short? Because I still have a little hair on the top. Just a little bit. You may not notice it, but it's there. And if I let it grow, it starts looking like porcupine quills sticking up. And my one granddaughter, she's in California now, but when she lived here, she used to tell me, Grandpa, it's time to mow your grass. She would always tell me, it's time to mow your grass. So it's like 1990s, I had longer hair, you know. It was getting thin on top. And my daughter-in-law talked me into letting me give me a buzz cut because it was the cool thing. It was kind of the end thing. Then she says, oh, let me do that. And now that I let her do it, I can't ever go back and let anything else grow out because it looks stupid up there. Phyllis has told me, well, eventually it'll lay down. Yeah, but it just doesn't look good though. So I'm kind of stuck with this kind of haircut now. All right. It has nothing to do with the sermon, I don't think. But anyway, when James is saying, back to the Word, James is saying that when we look into the Word, we behold God, we behold the glory. And when we do that, when we do what we see, it causes us to be blessed. It causes us to be blessed. Now, I want to look at some more scripture tonight. Like I said, we don't have a lot of time here, but let's go to Romans chapter 12. It's a scripture, you know, we hear a lot. Romans chapter 12. Let's go there. Romans the 12th chapter. So we're just talking about how the new covenant, you know, this covenant we have with God, it transformed you. When I got saved, you understand, I came out of a life of drug abuse and alcohol abuse. That was my lifestyle. You know, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and of course, you know, it was a really heavy time of drug use and so forth and all. And so I fell into that culture and all that, and that's what I lived for. That was my lifestyle. But when I got saved, I'm telling you, I began to feed on God's Word. Nobody had to, I just don't get it today. I just don't understand believers as, I can't relate to you. I didn't have to be whipped by the pastor, berated by the pastor every service to come to church. I didn't have to be berated to worship the Lord. I didn't have to be berated to read the Word or pray or when we had special meetings to be there. I didn't have to. I just was. Why? Because it was just, I was hungry for God.
Amen.
I was hungry for the Lord. I was hungry for some change. See, one of the things that really hit me before I got saved was I saw how dark my life was, the darkness I was living in, and how badly I needed some change. And so, you know, when that change came at the new birth, I'm telling you, I was thankful. I was glad. I was happy. I was full of joy, man. I'm telling you, I was, and I'm still that way.
Amen.
But, you know, the thing of it is I began to feed on the Word of God. I began to, of course, my pastor was preaching. And then, you know, I would listen to other men preach, you know, on the radio, and then found out about cassette tapes and, you know, and all that. You know, on the radio, I would listen to Brother Copeland. He had a radio program on, and a guy by the name of R.W. Schombach was on. And years ago, there was a guy by the name of David Nunn that was on preaching. And you know, I'd listen to these people on the radio, and you know, because radio was, we didn't have all the stuff we have today. So radio was, it was radio, TV. And so I listened to the radio, but then I'd order these cassette tapes. Man, I'd just feed on those. But then I'd open my Bible and feed on it. And I got a hold of Brother Hagin's books and just began to feed on them. I'm telling you, my life started to get radically transformed. It started to get radically changed for the better. I'm telling you, I started seeing some good days now. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Where before I had all that darkness and stuff, now I'm seeing good days. Praise God. Amen. And, you know, blessings started coming my way. Healing started coming my way. Financial blessings started coming my way. But more important than any of that, that's all superficial, you know. That you can go to heaven without all that. I mean, my soul, my mind was being transformed. My spiritual life was being transformed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Well, what was happening? The glory. Hallelujah. I was beholding the glory. Look what Paul told the church at Rome, chapter 12, verse 2. He says, be not conformed to this world. Now, I mean, if you don't do something, you just automatically will be.
Right.
You have to do something.
Right.
You have to swim upstream.
Right.
But be transformed. Remember, Paul said, we're changed or we're transformed from glory to glory, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how do you renew your mind? Well, Paul told us in 2 Corinthians, by beholding the glory in the new covenant, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Has anybody got areas of their life, and you don't need to raise your hand, but has anybody got areas of their life where it just looks like the perfect will of God's a long ways off? But it's obtainable, and it comes by beholding the glory. Hallelujah. This covenant is so strong. You know, I've said this before, but this covenant is so strong that it changed God's mind. You know, when Moses went up on the mount to get the Ten Commandments before he got down, Israel had broken about all 10 of them. Well, he was up there. And God told Moses, he said, hey, the people... I love this about God and Moses. When they were acting up, God would tell Moses, the people you brought out of Egypt. That's really the truth. Read it in the book of Exodus. Anytime they're acting up, God would say to Moses, the people that you brought out. God would be like, this was your idea, Moses. But then Moses would say, Lord, the people you brought out, they kind of like have this thing going back and forth. I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible. It's in there where God would say, Moses, the people you brought out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They made a molten calf and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee out of Egypt. You talk about. That may be the answer to how dumb can you get. Really, probably how dumb you can get probably was Aaron when Moses came down and said, where'd this calf come from? He said, well, I took all these golden earrings and trinkets off the people, threw it in the fire, and that cow came out. Yeah, right. That dumb. But anyway, God told Moses, he said, now let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them and I'm going to destroy them and I'm going to start over with you. And I'll make of you a great nation. And Moses said, Lord, if you do that, the people are going to say you couldn't get them in. They're going to say the only reason you brought them out here was to harm them. Now you remember your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Come on. See, what was he saying? See, Moses, he knew that if he stood on that covenant, God would honor that covenant. See, because God did not tell Moses, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. He told that to Abraham. So Moses said, you kill these people, you're killing Abraham's seed, and this is what you promised. And the Bible says, the King James says, the Lord repented. What does that mean? He changed his mind. He was going to wipe them out. Moses brought up the covenant and it changed God's mind. Well, I just said about that. If the covenant's so strong it'll change God's mind, it'll change ours. It'll renew ours. See, God's covenant-minded. Right? You ever seen a rainbow? Have you ever seen a rainbow? You know what that is? That's God's covenant. He made it. There's one, the Bible says, there's a rainbow about the throne. In other words, every time, that's all God sees is covenant. He sees covenant. And every time we see a rainbow, that just tells us God's a covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah. Jesus was a covenant-minded person. Remember, that we've talked about this in one of our teachings. The woman that had the spirit of infirmity in the synagogue, he said, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham be loosed from this bond? Well, he's thinking covenant. She's a covenant woman. She should be free. And the Bible tells us we're to always be mindful of His covenant. We're to have that covenant on our mind. Hallelujah. See, if we, listen, we may have areas of our life that seem so far away from the perfect will of God. They just seem like we'd never get there. But I got news for you. It may look like a long way off, but if you keep looking into the glory... I said, if you keep looking into the glory, you will be changed. Amen. From glory to glory. Amen. Just keep beholding the glory. You'll get there. Your life will change. If I could, I forget, I was talking to another pastor. We were having lunch last week, I believe it was, and we were talking and said, I think it was that's who I was talking to about this, and that was another minister. I think it was this pastor I was having lunch with. And we were just talking about, I told him, I said, you know, it'd just be great if you could just bust people's heads open. Now don't stop there. And dump all this knowledge of God in there. Amen. Amen. Because you know what it'll do for him.
Amen.
You know what it'll do for him, you know. Right. And so, and we were talking about that, you know, how that is, because the new covenant's radically changed his life, you know. And it's radically changed my life, and we're excited about it, you know. But we want everybody to enjoy it, to experience it. Amen. To get in there and behold the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. And be changed. Be changed. Amen. Go to Acts. We got a few minutes left. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. Acts 19. Then I'm going to look at one more scripture, and we'll be done tonight. Acts 19. Go there. Acts 19. Oh, thank God for the glory of the Lord. Thank God for this new covenant. Man, I'm glad we're not in the old covenant any longer. Now, let me just say this to you. I don't want to leave the implication that the old covenant was bad. It wasn't bad. We had the habit to show us where the problem was at. See, the law was given that we might know, you know, what we needed, that we had an issue. See. And the Bible said it was to be our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. In other words, what Israel should have seen was when God gave the law and all, they should have said, there's no way we can keep all that, you know, because there's all like 600 some commands. And It should have, they should have said, we can't do that. And God said, yeah, I know you can't, but I've got somebody, I'm sending somebody. And he did tell him, he said, I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto Moses. Talking about Jesus. And see, God was just letting Israel know, you can't do it on your own. But yet they tried to roll up their sleeves and do it. Matter of fact, they added to it. And the Bible says, Paul said in Romans that the Israelites, the Jews who sought after righteousness didn't attain it. But the Gentiles who weren't even seeking it got it. Why? Because we sought it by faith and they sought it after the works. They tried to work their way to be righteous. And it's just never going to happen. So the law, Paul said the law is spiritual and it's good. He said the problem is I'm carnal. And all that law does is condemn me and convict me and sentence me to death. But the new covenant, praise God, it doesn't do away with the law, as some people say. Jesus came and fulfilled it on our behalf. Now in Him, we fulfilled every bit of the law. Every jot and tittle is accounted to our account that we kept it all. See, Paul said the law is spiritual and good. It's a picture of the holiness of God. But it's just too much for people that don't have the Spirit of God living inside of them. Amen. But in our new covenant, we have power to keep the Word of God. Hallelujah. And when we do miss it, we got blood. Hallelujah. That covers our shortness, our shortcomings. Thank God. Hallelujah. It's just a different covenant. Now, in Acts 19, verse 20, the Bible says about the Word. It says, so mightily grew the Word of God, or the Word of the Lord, and prevailed. You see, when the covenant grows in you, it starts prevailing over things. Amen. It starts prevailing. It causes you to prevail. Amen. Hallelujah. I know that when I first got saved, I go back to that. It just caused me to start prevailing over things. It just started me, you know, I know people that maybe for years and years and years have had issues, but when you get in the Word and you get that new covenant and that glory change, it causes you to prevail over those things. It grows inside of you. See, that's what happened to David. King David. We all know the story about David and Goliath, but what caused that 17-year-old, which is probably about the age he was, to be so bold as to take on this warrior? I mean, Goliath was a huge man. And let me tell you something, he was a man of war, and from his youth, Saul said, and David, King Saul said, David, you're just a little ruddy lad. You're just a teenage boy with pimples on his face. What makes you think you can take him? I'll tell you why it had happened. David sat out on those hillside worshiping God, meditating on God, and God's covenant had grown inside of him. Now, how do we know that? Because when David got there and he saw Goliath and he saw what was going on, and they told David, said, the king has said, whoever kills this man will get his daughter. He will give him wealth. He will make his family free from taxes. And David said, now listen to this. David said, well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? In other words, who is this guy who doesn't even have a covenant?
Right.
Coming against God's covenant people. What's that tell you? It tells you that covenant had grown inside of David until it was big inside of him. And he realized, I got a covenant with God. This guy doesn't. He's dead. Amen. Now his brothers saw it as haughtiness. But it wasn't haughtiness. It wasn't arrogance. It wasn't presumption. It was faith. It was faith. And the rest is history. Amen. Now let's go to one last scripture. You get something tonight?
Yes.
All right, let's go to John's Gospel, John chapter 6. We'll close right here. John the 6th chapter. John chapter 6. We're just talking about how that covenant, as you feed on it, as you put it, you meditate on it, it grows inside of you, it changes you, you go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Man, I'm telling you, God will keep taking you up. Hallelujah. In verse number, John 6, verse 53, Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Now, what is he talking about? Did he really want them at the cross to eat his flesh and drink his blood? See, they should have known what he was talking about. Eating the flesh, drinking the blood is speaking of making a covenant. The Eastern people knew that. See, so what's Jesus talking? He's talking about unless you get a hold of this new covenant. See, you've got to get a hold of the new covenant. You won't have life in you. Well, that makes sense. How do we get life in us? We got to hold the new covenant. See, who's the mediator of the new covenant? He's the doorway, right? And whoever eats my flesh. See, he gave his flesh, he gave his blood for the covenant. See, whenever we partake of the covenant, we're partaking of his flesh and his blood. See, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, or food indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. Doesn't that sound a lot like John 15, abiding in the vine? You abide in me, I abide in you. What are you talking about? If you're a partaker of this new covenant, you're abiding in me and I'm abiding in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, what you don't know, you can't partake of. Amen. See, it's just like at home. If your wife hides the peanut brittle from you, you can't partake of it. But when you can, but when you're spiritual like me, and you can pray, "Oh Lord, lead me to that peanut brittle," you can find it. In case y'all don't know the story, she hid the peanut brittle from me. I told her to. I said, "Hide that. Get rid of it." I told her, "Just get it out of the house." She said, "I'll hide it." Well, one night, I got lonesome for it. And I found it way back in the pantry behind the sugar, behind the croutons, way back in this dark corner, all lonely. What a friend we have. Hallelujah.
Normally, if he has to move anything, he can't find it.
She said, "Normally, if I have to move anything, I can't find it." That's the truth. You know, but so I would eat it, and I'd put it back. I just kept eating and putting it back. Because I wanted, like, one day she's going to go in there to find that, and it's all gone. Hallelujah. Now, amen. Now, verse 56 again. He that eats my flesh, drinks my blood, dwells in me, and I in him. That's abiding in the vine. As the living Father has sent me, and as I live by the Father, so he that eats me, I like the New King James there, he that feeds on me, even he shall live by me. What's he talking about? Same thing Paul was talking about, holding the glory of the Lord, looking into the new covenant. He that feeds on this new covenant, Jesus said, he'll live by me. He'll have the Zoe, the God kind of life working inside of him because he's feeding on this new covenant. So how important it is to feed on the new covenant is very important if you want change. If you want to go from glory to glory, if you want to stay where you're at, that's your business, but you're going to miss a lot. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 58, let's close with this. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, for he that eats this bread shall live forever. Hallelujah. So what have we said tonight? Well, We're just talking just in simple terms about how when we look into this new covenant, it has the power to radically transform our lives. It changes us. We go from glory to glory. We go from faith to faith. But we have to not just be hearers, but doers of the word. When you see you need to change, you change. You change. Hallelujah. A lot of people don't realize this, but just those small things that they know to do that they're not doing is keeping them in a lower level of life. keeping him from the higher blessing. You know? Amen.
Amen.
You know, the Bible talks about different things, you know, that when we read it, everything God ever tells us to do, how many know it's for our benefit?
Yes.
Amen. You know, the Bible says to worship God, it's not for God's benefit. How many know his ego doesn't need built up? Amen. It's for our benefit. When God tells us tithe, it's not for God's benefit. It's for our benefit. Everything he has us to do, he has us to do it for our benefit.
Amen.
Amen. See, I wrote a little article for the bulletin about love, like what love is. You know, the King James uses the word, when it talks about the love of God, agape, which is the Greek word, agape, it uses the word charity. Charity. Have you ever seen that? If you ever read the King James Bible, use the word charity. Now, it seems kind of odd why they would use charity, but you have to go back to when it was translated about 400 years ago. It meant something a little different, see? Some of the words meant something different, and they used charity because there's different kinds of love. There's four words, Greek words for love. You know, there's Philadelphia. You know, we've heard of the city of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a Greek word which means brotherly love, love of the brethren. Love like you're in awe of something. You know, anybody ever say, "Well, I just love pizza." Well, I hope you don't love pizza like you love your wife. See, there needs to be a different level of that kind of love, see. There's one that's like for eros, like sexual love or love between a man and a woman, see. But then there's agape, which is the God kind of love, totally different than all those others, totally different. And agape literally means, in the King James said it this way, charity, it's a giving love, see. It gives. Now, here's the thing. Because we have a society today that wants to talk about love, that doesn't know a thing in the world about love. No. They call things that are perverted love. You ever heard the phrase, love wins? It's not love. It's lust. It's perversion. See, the love of God is a giving love. But here's what you need to know about the love of God. It doesn't give you necessarily what you want. It gives you what you really need. Now, any parent ought to know that. You don't give kids what they want. Not necessarily. You got to give them what they need. My gosh, if you just let them eat what they wanted to eat, they might not have any teeth or brains. I don't know, some of your kids, maybe they got teeth, but they don't have brains. I don't know. Sometimes you got to put that in them yourself. See what I'm talking about? See, that's the love of God. So here's the thing. We get accused, the church, we get accused of being haters because we don't accept certain things. But the Bible says we're to speak the truth in love. See? What's that mean? We don't give people what they want to hear. We don't give people what they think they need. We give people what they really do need and what God wants them to hear. That's the love of God. Amen. God's good and he's covenant. And, you know, just a little short series on our covenant with God and different things that we've talked about. But I'll tell you right now, this book is just, you know, from Genesis to Revelation is just full of promises. And they're all there to help us live victorious.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for his word. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.